Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, January 23rd, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you are listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Or if anyone would like to email a question, you can send it to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. You can also support us by purchasing the books, Government by Consent and Court Access in the Common Law. You can find them also on the right-hand side of our website. Also, you can join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs, also found on the right-hand side of our website or on the front page. Okay, tonight's scripture reading, let me change the page here. I apologize that half of that song, I guess I didn't hit the right button and we didn't get the sound coming through the computer for, I guess, about the first third of that song. But anyway, okay, let's see. All right, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 16 now. Next week we'll be starting a new book. This is the last chapter in the book of Romans. And it's read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus's household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you, and Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. the end of the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans.
Okay, tonight we're going to go pretty quick into an open forum. I don't have any program particularly anything to share, but we'll go into Q&A today pretty quickly and see where we go from there. Jan, do we have any questions or any announcements to be made?
We have one question from tonight, John. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's kind of long, so I'll read it slowly for you. I am currently in the process of nearing completion of my grand jury administrator's course. I'm on page 15 to be exact. And throughout the course in general, I found that the format of this course makes it very insurmountable to complete and advance through. The method of retrieving answers via clicking and dragging to the blanks while scrolling up and down the page adds a lot of extra time to the course-taking process. The method of dropping the answers in the blanks and not seeing an immediate reaction of right or wrong based on the colors red or green like previous courses, but waiting to the end, if reached, to check correctness. Not being able to save answers if one has to leave the computer for any extended length of time, bed or work day. And having returned to resume course one, you find that everything answered, to find that every answer inserted was lost. Sorry for the long-winded complaint, but this will make completion of Meredith's very important position very hard to procure.
Okay, is that the end of it?
That's all, John.
Okay. All right, well, this is the first I'm hearing of that. There's something maybe quirky in the program or maybe a problem with the computer, but it's probably in the program. But we haven't heard of this complaint before. We are at a point where we're kind of overgrowing the program that we're using in the sense that we need to upgrade our program. And we also had to do some kind of weird things in order to get a lot of these courses going and plugins. And I think we're on, I think it's number 7, it's available now, number 10. They don't even support number 7 anymore. So we got to move to number 10 on our software. It's called Drupal. We use Drupal. And we're looking to make that move, hopefully shortly. It depends on the funds that come in because it's going to cost us some money. And we're going to revamp all of the courses because we're going to have to, there probably a lot of them are going to fail as we try to move the entire site from one side to another. But we're hoping to get something going soon, and depending on what kind of help I can get, we might be able to, you know, redevelop all those courses within a couple of weeks to get them going and then move over to the other site at that point. We'll put it up on a different server. We will be looking and asking for people to make some donations to assist us in that. I don't know what it's going to cost us yet. I know when we originally put Drupal together here, the people that we hired did good work for us, and they were really affordable. I had gotten many, many prices on building a website. The website we used prior to this was one that I had built, and we used off of a Microsoft program. I'm trying to think of the name of that Microsoft program. Maybe it was Front Page. Does that sound? I don't remember. Any event, that wasn't anything that we can really use that would be really, give us, the courses and the different things, as far as building membership and gathering information, being able to email everybody. So we had to move eventually to Drupal. So I'm working right now to discuss the different parts of the program that we might have used from Drupal. And they do have a better upgraded system. And, of course, I would presume that would be also in the courses also. And they'll be more consistent because I think we used about 3 different types of courses, computer software programs to create the courses, if I recall. I didn't build them all. I know we had one of our techs that was working with us built one, and I built 2 of them, I think. And And I don't remember, it's been quite some time since we put it together, but I know I built the last two, I believe. And so we'll be upgrading that. But again, I'm not aware of that. That might be some kind of a bug in the system. I will be talking with the tech on that to see if we can solve that problem. If anybody else has that experience, maybe they can let us know to confirm that indeed there is a specific problem. And again, it could be a lot of stress on the system that we're using because, again, it's outdated. And we've grown quite a bit. We've got a large membership, and we anticipate a much larger membership. We're kind of hoping for critical mass to come soon. We're in the middle of a lot of different things, and a lot of these different things we hope will bring us that critical mass. Whether we are technically ready for critical mass, that's another question. So that's why I think we have to get moving on this system quickly. Try to get the new site up as soon as possible. But again, I don't know what the cost factors are going to be. I'm not anticipating a large amount of money to do this, but I'm sure maybe a couple of thousand or something. I really don't know. All right, and I guess that's the only question, right, Jan?
Yes, the only announcement in the newsletter this week was to come to the meeting tonight with all of your comments and questions on the mandamus. So we're ready to go.
Okay. All right. And we do need more help. Anybody wants to volunteer their help, just send an email with your name and your phone number to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and just put in the subject space there that you're interested in assisting and help. We do need a lot of help. Got a lot of things going on. Okay, I guess with that, we're just going to go over to a Q&A. And we're open Q&A. If you're coming in by app, you should be able to see a button there somewhere that'll enter you into Q&A. If you're coming in on a phone, you can hit *6 and then a 1. It'll tell you to hit a 1, I believe. And you'll get into the queue. Got quite a few people in the queue, so we'll start taking questions and move from there. Jan, maybe you can keep an eye out for Brent to see if he comes in, and we'll give him some time on the mic. Okay, we'll take our first question. John, I think, is our first one. Hold on, next question. John, you've been unmuted. What state you calling in from?
Oklahoma.
How you doing, John?
Recuperating from surgery still back in November. Other than that, I'm all right.
Okay, you got a question or a comment? Correction?
I've got a couple of questions. Is there someone in the state of Oklahoma that is actually working as the administrator to the state? Because I've made several phone calls, and whoever it is on the 405 number, they never answer, they never call back, and I've had several questions I needed to ask.
Yeah, what state was that?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, okay.
Yeah. My next question is going to be, I finished out the accredited jury administrators courses, passed it out with a 100% on all pages and questions, and was wondering if there is a certificate of completion that is going to come with that.
Well, that's going to have a special certificate, which we haven't created yet. That's going to be one that will qualify the individual to be a jury administrator, which is a paid position. We're looking for four administrators in every county, plus one paralegal, which will also be an administrator, so actually there's five. And everyone's required to take all of the courses. The final course is the one you're talking about, which, by the way, I don't know if you heard, if you were in and when the question was being asked, a concerning problem on that course. Did you have that kind of a problem that was that Jan had read to us concerning that last course, or did you go through?
I actually did. did go through that course, and yes, there was that difficulty with doing it. It took me about 24 hours, maybe a little over, to go through the entire curriculum in order to be able to pass the course itself. I just sat in front of my computer until I couldn't handle it anymore. And if I had to stop, I got kicked out and had to start all over again with everything.
You mean if you had to stop in the middle of a particular part of the course, or the whole course itself, you'd have to start over the whole?
This was if I went through and finished a chapter and had to stop to take a break, I had to go back through, start the page all over again from 1 to, I think it was 25, and do all 25 test questions in order to be able to pass the curriculum. Yes, sir. There
when you went through that and you finished that particular chapter, did you click the button to move to the next section and then walk away, or did you leave it without clicking that button and get into that next section?
No, I went ahead and clicked that section as finished and passed, and it did not save it.
Okay. All right. I'll talk with the tech on that. I have no idea why that would happen. Again, this is the first we're hearing of it, so we only had one person complain, and you're confirming that there is a problem with that. But going back to that course, you know, we also require everyone to do all the courses. I don't know if you've been through all the courses. The last course, I think, is the longest course. And basically, it's really getting familiar with common law, familiar with our Constitution and many other things, you know, our founding fathers. And we are in the middle. I've got a lot of it together, but I haven't completed it yet. But we're creating a handbook which will go through the specifics concerning the actual job of a jury administrator. But a jury administrator must know the basics of the Constitution. They must understand the basics of common law. We do have worked out that we'll have a paralegal in every county, and you know that'll help quite a bit, and people will learn off of that paralegal because of process, that they'll learn a lot of process. But we will write a lot of the process down. We will write a lot of the things concerning the job requirements and how to handle certain things, what kind of an attitude we have to have when we deal with people. We're going to cover a lot of things that'll be in that handbook. And we're kind of still a ways away from that job actually being filled, but people should be trying to fill positions and taking on that job in their counties. And, you know, we'll see how things go as we move along. We're right now, we're at the point of going before the United States Supreme Court and work on a paper. I was hoping to have this done actually, you know, before the new year, before January hit, which it didn't happen. And we just finished this past week. As a matter of fact, it was Tuesday of last week. We finished the paper. We have posted our paper. Let's see. Up here, mandamus to the United States Supreme Court. So if anybody hasn't read this paper, we did read it live a couple of weeks ago. And we've got 18 points that we're dealing with the United States Supreme Court concerning the federal judiciary. And we've written memorandums on each one of those points. And right now, we're just going through the process of making sure we're you know, that the paper is in good form, that the English is reasonably well, and we're looking for anybody who might want to give us any corrections, or maybe a thought might have been dropped somewhere and kind of doesn't make sense. Anybody reading this could alert us to those problems, and you can send those problems to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. And in the subject matter, just put the, you know, court case before the U.S. Supreme Court, or just put U.S. Supreme Court in the subject matter, and we'll know that it's identifying with a concern, a possible glitch in the paperwork. The paperwork is quite long. I mean, it's as long as a book, and so had a lot of time on it. And so it's 230 pages, 8.5 by 11, and so it's pretty beefy. And I'll tell you what, I think anybody who reads through this will get one heck of an education, because it does focus in on this, on the really great problems that we do have in our court system today and what has to be corrected. So anyway, we're looking to get that out maybe in a week or two. You know, I've already even put up all the labels and put some letters together. We've got quite a few people being copied on this. It's probably going to take a full day of printing just to print this out and then seal the edges so it's in book form for all of the individuals we're going to be sending out to. I think we have a total of, including the U.S. Supreme Court justices, I think we've got 28 people that it's going to altogether. 9 of them is the Supreme Court justices. Once we file that paper and get that paper out to a lot of individuals, we're kind of hoping that we're going to get a lot of attention and also get some interviews and get the word out in such a fashion to large groups of people, whereas then we may hit that critical mass point. I'm looking forward to move forward to that, but the other thing, I do see a potential problem with the website. If worse comes to worse, and we can flip the website over to the other server as we're working on the courses, and if we have to do that, maybe we can run both sites at the same time and give a special link in order to get into the courses that people are on to continue. But I'm not sure how we're going to handle that at all. And one of the problems that I'm not sure how we're going to be able to get through will be the fact that we'll be upgrading the courses to a higher rated course software, or whatever you want to call that. And so things will be quite different, and I'll have to work out how we're going to work that out. Some people that are in the courses already, at least they'll be able to finish their course. We'll have to figure a way that's going to work out. But
I should add one thing to help you. I've already got 4 certificates on my wall right now, graduating from first one thing and then another through you. Okay. I've also been reading seriously John's book, Government by Consent. I'm just waiting to get the other ones and finish up some other studies. And when I was in college, I studied paralegalism. As well as business law. I had to pass a curriculum that I was going through at the time. But, and...
Did you ever become certified as a paralegal?
No, I never was able to get my certification done. I don't know what I'm missing as far as class is concerned, but now that I've been out of work for a little while now, it might be something that I could look forward to.
Yeah, if you can complete the course, you can always move over to the paralegal position. Again, there'll be 5 people in every county. We have over 3,000 counties. I think it's 3,130-some-odd counties, 34, 33, something like that. And we do know some of those counties are very rural, and especially up in Alaska-type places. And so let's figure 3,000 counties roughly. And of those 3,000 counties needing 5 people, so we're looking there to hire quite a few people. That's about 15,000 people. Right now, the system that they have going and those people who are orientating the juries, which are mostly lawyers, we need to take it back away from the bar attorneys there, because they control the whole system. And that's a major problem. The whole court system is controlled by bar attorneys, and that's why we have civil law. We should be under common law, and that's the big battle we're at within the court system right now. So,
everybody that I have discussed anything with, I keep a photograph of the original 13th Amendment from John's book, as well as some other information and other pages. mm-hmm. there on my phone, and everybody that reads that document, everybody that reads those pages, they have never heard of NLA and have not been aware of what NLA has been doing. They get upset and they get angry because this was, according to everything that John wrote, this was swept under the rug in 1879, and the Bar Association, being the criminal backbone of garbage that it is, if you ever wanted a additional U.S. Marshal to work within the boundaries of constitutional law, I'm sitting here waiting to go back to work.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's only the tip of the iceberg. I mean, they have totally destroyed our courts. If you really want to understand how bad they stole our courts and how bad they destroyed it, just read this paper, because this paper lays out all of the major problems in the courts. And what we're looking for the United States Supreme Court to do, of course, is to send writ mandamuses down to all 94 federal district courts, ordering them to obey the law of the land. And, you know, we're looking also as NORTCOM to assist us in really getting this done, this work done. They're the ones that are responsible for, you know, watching for subversion against the United States of America by enemies both foreign and domestic. And they have an interesting information on their website. Let me just go back to that real quick. And that's U.S. NORTHCOM. And let me just read something real quick. I'm just going to read the yellow highlighted areas. The U.S. NORTHCOM plans to organize and execute homeland defense and civil support missions. And just dropping down a bit, it talks about military forces can provide civil support. And the big paragraph here that really is a shocker, and this thing talks about posse comitatus twice. And posse comitatus is a process for the sheriff and military, this particular military, which is responsible for securing the homeland, so to speak. They're responsible to make sure that, you know, we're not subverted. And they're talking about taking the powers of posse comitatus. It says here, per the Posse Comitatus, acts as military forces and can provide civil support, but cannot become directly involved in law enforcement. But the next paragraph is the powerful one. In providing the civil support, NORTCOM generally operates through established joint task forces subordinate to the command. An emergency must exceed the capabilities of local, state, and federal agencies before U.S. NORTCOM becomes involved. And we are at that point. And it goes on to say, in most cases, support will be limited, localized, and specific. But in this case, in our case, it's nationwide and very large. When the scope of the disaster is reduced to the point that primary agencies can again assume full control and management without the military assistance, U.S. NORTHCOM will exit, leaving the on-scene experts to finish the job. Now, I don't know how long this has been up on their website, but that's pretty powerful. Statements here, and again, the reference to Posse Comitatus on two different points in this paper. There's one page that they have, and we do give a link. You can go read this directly right up on their page, which is right here. And again, if you click on this bottom one, it says this is the writ mandamus that you can read this. And again, it's an education in itself, and it does lay out. I'll tell you what, anybody that you know, that is not aware of how bad it is, they're going to faint when they read this one. You know, I know I've been involved in this for quite some time, and I presume a lot of people that are with us have been involved with this, looking at these problems and trying to deal with it for quite some time. And we've been in the courts on this issue since 2015, and we haven't gotten anywhere in the courts with it. I mean, we've had a couple of successes on certain cases, but the main case, of course, is trying to get a court of record opened, which is a court of common law. And that is a very difficult thing to do. But I think we're very, very close now. There's a lot of things in our favor and a lot of things happening, a lot of people waking up. Military is aware. Plans are in place, and it's just a matter of time waiting for the right tripwire to execute the U.S. forces to make a move. And but I think, you know, there's a good possibility by going into the courts to get through there quite quickly, depending on how our enforcement works. You know, if our enforcement can really push this through, which they do have the power and the authority to do it. And if they do, you know, one of the problems I know with the Brunson case was, and those who are familiar with the Brunson case, it was approaching really the political problem. And if that case would have went through, and they were told to hear the case and look into it, and then they stalled out on it. And if that case went through, I think it would have created a bigger problem, because we would have lost maybe two-thirds, maybe three-quarters of Congress. And I think people would have been alarmed by it. It would have went a different direction, and I think we'd have chaos. And I don't know whether you know, security could have been held. You know, at the time when they feel that security can be held back, I think that's when they'll move. Our case is different. If our case went through and won, the general people who are not paying attention in the courts would have no clue that anything has even changed. They wouldn't even know. You know, it probably would come into the news to some degree, I would presume, but unless they go to certain websites, come here to us and other places that have knowledge of this and what's going on, to explain the depthness of what we've, and the breadth of what we've been looking at and what we've been doing, then of course that would be a different story. But generally speaking, we'd be able to get this through. It wouldn't create chaos throughout the country. So I think we have a better chance to get this through. I think it's something that enforcement would push forward on a little harder and make it happen if they're ready to move on this. But I don't know if they're really educated on how bad things are. I've been writing some letters, and I might share those letters on this page over here, which would be where the paper is. The letter that will be going to the military, the letter that will be going to other individuals that we'll be sending our copy of the papers to. And it reveals one of the big problems. And one of the biggest problems we do have, and it's a sad problem, is the fact that people think we're a democracy. And no matter where you go, and no matter what you listen, you go to school, you listen to the media, you listen to Congress, you listen to the Senate, even the United States Supreme Court justices, they use the word democracy and refer to us as a democracy. We became a democracy, so to speak, not in truth, but in fraud, in fiction and in fraud. We became a democracy in 1871 with the Organic Act of 1871, which incorporated the United States. And at that point, they started calling us a democracy. And when you listen to lately some of the things that are going on, it's pretty frightening, the mindset that people have. And the education of our children is pretty sad. They have no clue of anything. They don't know our founding fathers. They don't know our Constitution. They don't even know who Thomas Jefferson is and Benjamin Franklin. It's a pretty sad state of affairs. And it's up to us, we the people, to fix that problem. And that, of course, is what National Liberty Alliance is all about. And, you know, through building committees of safety in every one of our counties, working through and getting the jury administrators in every one of our counties, where the people take control, because that's how you have government by consent. You know, we should be able to control the judiciary system completely 100%, and we should be able to control the political process completely 100%. And that's government by consent. Right now, political parties, party bosses control the political things, and bar attorneys control the judicial things, and it's a nightmare. One other thing before we, move to the next caller in a minute, I'll see if you have anything else to say, is if you go into our Constitution under Article 1, Section 9, and it would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Clause 8, okay, our founding fathers did put a statement in there that is very close to the 13th Amendment, the original 13th Amendment. And it says here, the title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office of profit trust under them shall, without the consent of Congress, accept of any present emolument, office, or title of any kind, whatever, from any king, prince, or foreign state. And they didn't go far enough, and they didn't really identify the problem. And one of the problems we had back then, you know, they didn't call the Federalist Papers the Federalist. They didn't call, break off into a faction, and the Federalist Movement, which was sort of a party, it was a faction, that broke away from and trying to move things, really was being driven by the banksters and by the King of England. And so we already had the enemy in the camp at the time when the negotiations, the Constitution went through. But thankfully, most of the negotiators and the speakers and of the Federalist Papers were pretty much on point, and Madison and Jefferson saw the problem, and they pushed real hard, particularly, which we see, of course, in the Anti-Federalist Papers, and they wouldn't name that back then. But anyway, they pushed very hard to get the Bill of Rights in there and to neutralize some of these problems. And interestingly enough, by the early 1800s, 1818 or 1819, something like that, they got passed. The Founding Fathers were still pretty much there, most of them anyway. And they pushed forward the 13th Amendment, which was very strong, very powerful, and really hit it hard. It was totally recognized, and they knew this already, you know, because the Bar Association was established in the colonies back in 1750. The king established it here in order to destroy a common law like they had done in England. And so they wanted to destroy the courts, our courts of common law, and they have succeeded at that. The final blow on our courts took place in 1934, although it was pretty much destroyed before that, but it took the final blow and final move into civil law, Babylonian law, through the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, executed in 1938 by the United States Supreme Court. So, you know, this battle has been going on for quite some time, and it's pretty pretty scary when you really look at the whole picture to see how much damage they have done. And we can really get it back to square one almost literally overnight. We just have to get a Supreme Court that will obey the Constitution and obey the people and do what they have to do. And we reminded Congress, we're copying numerous people in Congress and some in the Senate, specific people, and we're letting it be known of these major problems, which they're aware of a lot of them anyway. But this democracy problem is a huge, huge problem, and it's going to be up to them to really start pushing things, especially Jim Jordan in the Judiciary Committee. We want to kind of, I think he's going to be on board quite quick. The problem is our papers cannot be understood very well by bar attorneys because they've been totally brainwashed, and it'll be so confusing to them because it's the literal opposite of everything they've been taught. And therefore a waste of money. When the courts go back in, they'll know process and procedure, and that's the only thing that'll bring them back into the system to be able to continue as an attorney or a lawyer, whatever you want to call it. Let's say a lawyer. But they'd have to leave the bar and understand that civil law is a little more, and understand how common law works. And that's going to be for them, it's going to be a big task. You know, we can talk to people who have no background in law, and they understand very quickly. But lawyers, they are so perplexed. It's like they're, you know, it's like a deer caught in the headlights. They just get stunned by it because they spent lots of money to get an education that really is worthless and is not doing what they expected it to do, and that is to bring justice. It brought disjustice or injustice or injustice. All right, anyway, anything final before I move to the next caller here?
One more question. Where is the place to sign the writ of mandamus that you are putting forth to the Supreme Court?
Well, the writ of mandamus.
I want to be able to sign it.
No, the writ mandamus, well, we may be working through something. I know Gerard was talking about this, get some letter writing going to support the paper. But the writ mandamus is being done by the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, signed by the foreman, one person only. But ultimately, you know, our membership is really the whole thing. And we've had numerous meetings of the grand jury over the years. And the final focus, of course, would be going to the United States Supreme Court. And every paper we put into the courts was really pushing forward towards this last paper, which, again, is to bring our common law courts back. So there is no signature other than one person, and that is the foreman of the grand jury. We may get a campaign going. Gerard may try to move this forward, or maybe someone else, but we may get a campaign going, a letter-writing campaign to put some support. You know, I don't know. It's good to get the numbers of the people to let it be known that there is a serious problem and that we see what they're doing and they need to do the right thing. We are threatening the United States Supreme Court with a potential indictment individually as jurists because this is subversion against the United States of America, and they continue to act upon that subversion and continue to build upon that subversion. And it's so we're pushing, you know, that kind of an idea through that process. But for people to when the grand jury acts, everyone in the grand jury doesn't sign. They come to an agreement and move forward, and foreman is usually the only one. But no, we'll see how we go with the letter writing. And we'll put, if the letter writing goes, it's really. You know, to push the point that the people have had it. I'm not sure how. I'd have to get involved and think about how we would ask the people to kind of, you know, couch the letter because, you know, we don't want to threaten anybody, number one. We don't, with the exception of the fact that they're committing treason and they're in jeopardy of an indictment if they don't stop and do what needs to be done here. And we do have to come with that olive branch, but we're coming at the end of that olive branch. You know, that olive branch is coming to an end shortly. And we've had that olive branch offered to them since 2015. And no judge has taken opportunity to do anything about it. And no judge has taken opportunity to say anything about it. No judge has really answered anything that we've put into the courts. No judge has responded to anything we've done in the courts. We did threaten the clerks with potential indictment should they remove or destroy or cover up the paperwork. So they've been pretty good with that, and all our papers have gone into the courts. They've never sent anything back. But there is, you know, they don't control the whole system. So all our papers did go in, but there is a cover-up from somebody in the Northern District of New York because you can't find our papers in the Northern District of New York, which is where we filed them. But we also filed them in other places with the Attorney General. We filed them also up on our website. And so, you know, it is what it is, and we'll see where it goes soon. All right. Well, let me take the next caller. Appreciate the call. If you want to ask some more, you can get back in line here. We do have quite a few people here. So we'll take the next caller. Thanks, John. John, thanks.
You're welcome. You have a good evening. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, next caller is from Alabama. Is that correct? What's the first name? 334 area code. You got the mic. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'm new here, so I was kind of just listening in. I saw this on a guy's YouTube page, and I was interested in it because I recently filed a habeas corpus for my daughter in Georgia. So it just caught my attention because I saw it on one of his pages explaining habeas corpus.
Mm-hmm.
How
is that going? Who's filing it? Are you filing it yourself, or do you have a lawyer doing it, and how's it going?
Well, I got the paperwork printed out, and I'm learning how to fill it out because this is very new to me. I've never done it before, but he's going to file it. I'm just doing the paperwork for her. because, you know, I can't represent her or anything. So she has to do all that. I'm just
well you could
paperwork.
Is what's called the next friend. Is this for your daughter, you said?
Yes.
Is she incarcerated at this point?
No, she has to go turn herself in on March the 1st. So I was trying to get it done before.
Yeah, she could do it herself. But, you know, she can also have assistance of the next friend. You can get counsel. Anybody could be counsel. They'll argue that. They'll fight you tooth and nail against that. But if you really, there's plenty of law in there that prevents them really from not allowing someone that is a non-lawyer or a bar attorney particularly from representing them, but it is another battle. Everything's a battle in the court. I've always found that every time I've gone into court, every single time, you know, I'm there to battle the other side, and I always got the other side just sits there and waits as I have to battle the judge constantly on all things, because all they want to do is to just stack the whole system, because usually everything we're going in for is against the status quo, and they protect the status quo, and that's the problem, that
yeah.
business. But we do have information on one of our pages underneath our Education Starts Here. If you come down to law, okay, and you come over, I don't know if you're watching the screen here, you come down to law, and then under law you'll find court forms and process. Now, this is one of the only pages that we have that require people to be a prime member, and you know, to become a prime member, it's $5 a month or more. So it's not expensive, $60 a year. A cup of coffee and a roll of butter or something, or a bagel once a month, you give that up you become a paid member. But anyway, I think, what do we call it? A premium member? Is that what we call it, Jan? Anyway, this page is available then, and on this page we have a lot of helps for, you know, people who have a basic understanding of somewhat of the court system and how it works. We have paperwork on a land patent. We have information on the demand for oaths and bonds, instruction forms for traffic court, and that deals with a lot of different code violation courts. I mean, you can use that traffic court paper for any code violation, usually done in town courts, village courts. Instructions and forms of challenge jurisdiction, which is key to any case, because they're not going to give you due process, and that's where the battle begins. Instructions and forms to move your case for cause to the federal district court, that is. Instructions and forms to file a habeas corpus. So, I mean, you have, a breakdown of how to do that, all the paperwork that's involved with that. Also, move the court for enforcement after you win a case. When you win a case, now you got to enforce it. And you don't just sit there and wait. The court just doesn't come out and enforce your case for you. You have to push that forward. And so there is a process to move the court for that enforcement and get the sheriff to come out and do what has to be done. There's a notice and demand, and that notice and demand is generally for outside of the court, when an individual working for the government somewhere is a problem, and you have to go forward to get their oath and bond and push forward and require them to answer. We have other downloads and memorandums. So there's a lot of information in here. I thought we had something up here. Let me see. Notice and demand. We should have something up here on a quo warranto. I don't see anything, but I get a chance, I'll put something up here. Quo warranto is really a notice and demand, but it's used inside the courtroom. And you would use that against the judge and against all the officers of the court, requiring their oath and bonds and financials. Once they break the law and start to maintain and hold up the status quo, as they really deny you due process and proper movement of the courts. And that's something we really just recently picked up on and are using. And that's one of the things we're going to be using with the Supreme Court. And we use that with any of the courts now at this point. Because you'll always get the judge fighting with the court. And you got to find a way to force that judge to do the right thing. And that's one
right.
of the and you have to then enforce that paper, because you got to move it up the line. Because they're going to ignore it within the court case. They got 10 days to respond on a quo warranto, And also, a notice and demand, you usually give them 30 days, depending on how it's couched and what it's for. You know, if you're going against an individual or corporation, it's a 30-day process. But if you're going against an individual, really that notice and demand turns into a demand for their credentials. The quo vanto in the court, okay, is once that judge denies your due process. For instance, if you pulled in, I got cases that have been pulled into the federal courts, and the federal court has taken jurisdiction when they don't have jurisdiction. And I challenged jurisdiction and asked for what jurisdiction we're in. They refused to answer. Well, now we know how to deal with it, because now we can turn around and pull their credentials, their bonds. And you can make money off it at that point, because, you know, you're at a point you're being damaged. And you can negotiate with the bond company, and the bond company will give you restitution for that problem. And that becomes a problem for the judge or the individual. We don't want to abuse that. You have to be very careful with that. But the bottom line is these people are lawless, and we have to use the law, mm-hmm. make them obey the law. And then, you know, some of these things, you have to move them up into the appellate process and move that through the system. You know, I go as far as potentially, at this point in my thinking, adding them to the case or develop a new case against them, which is what the quo vanto really does anyway.
Okay.
So we got a lot of information on that page. If you want to find it and help, it may be helpful.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you, because I'm new. I just called in the number. I didn't get in online, but mm-hmm. I did a $50 donation one time, but I can do the monthly fee. That's no problem.
Well, if you go to our website and you click on our a tab on the top left-hand side where it says weekly call, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it gives you all of the information how to join us by phone, app, or browser, and then you'll be able to see the website. You know, there's also the book Court Access in the Common Law that I'd written. And that breaks down the whole process of how court works and all of the systems and forms and, you know, or the makeup of a form and the strategies and lots of different things. That book I wrote for the sole purpose of assisting people to come into the court from the perspective of the common law. And remember, we can use their codes and their statutes against them, because that's what they're for. They're used to control.
Mm-hmm.
The agents that are in power and authority, you know, so that's what the codes are for. They're supposed to be obedient to those codes. Unfortunately, they've turned them around and added things and come against the people for it, which is, that's unlawful, because we're not under statute.
So I need to log in and become a member so I can access that page, right?
Just that one page. I don't know that we have anything else. Jan, do you know if we have anything else that requires membership in order to see it? I don't think we do have anything else. Well, to take our courses, you have to be a member. We have one course, Government by Consent, that we ask them to be a premier member. And that and this page. Is there anything else that we have that we only give to premier members, Jan?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You know, we really don't want to force people into have to pay for anything, because this is free information. But we have to also support all of the course factors that we have here. So, you know, we have to make money somehow. So it's all in donations.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and set up my membership. That way I can get the information that I need, because, you know, I got a small window of time.
Yeah. Well, order the book also, because that book will be extremely helpful. I suggest people that get that book is just read it like a book from the beginning to the end, and then you come back and you go back and look back into the table of contents, and then when you're writing papers and trying to do things, you know, use it as a reference book. And you can look things up rather quickly, the way the chapters are broken up, you know, how the trial works and how the original paperwork, the argument, how that goes, and different motions that take place between the, you know, when you first bring your paperwork into the court and file it, you file your complaint, or your action. I always call it an action. So you file your action. Between the action and the time you get into the actual courtroom, as far as, you know, for the trial, more often than not, you should be able to, if you've got a righteous case, you should be able to beat that up before you even have to get into trial and get summary judgments. And we talk about that and how that works. But summary judgments, you know, is not lawful for a judge to make without A, the request, and B, it being absolutely obvious who's going to win that case. And really, you know, most cases should be able to get, you know, summary judgments, as Lee says, a case that would be called a civil case, I guess you call it. But it's in the sense that, you know, a contract disagreement or dispute or something between people, things that are not criminal.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Thanks for the call. All right, we'll go to the next caller. Next question. It looks like Jim from PA. How you doing, Jim? Jim, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Okay. John, this is Jim in Pennsylvania.
How you doing?
Hey, two brief comments and a question that you had brought up. First of all, I want to let you know that National Liberty Alliance is on our Constitution Party of PA agenda meeting on March 18th,
okay.
2023. And I just wanted to let you know, apparently they had not contacted you about this, but we had talked about it before.
Right.
So I want to let you know that you are, or the NLA is on the agenda.
Okay, what's the date, March what?
March 18th, it's a Saturday.
And it's a Saturday, and what time?
At 10 o'clock, 10 a.m., but it's in Clarion, Pennsylvania, which is right off of I-80.
Okay.
So I thought that might be easier for you to get to from New York, but
yeah.
I just wanted to run it by you, and if you'd let us know that you would, that NLA would be speaking at that meeting, it'd really be great to have you.
I will endeavor to come out there. I mean, if worst case comes to worst, could we come in through Skype or Zoom or something like that?
Again, the national chairman would really like to meet up with you in person.
I'd like to come personally myself. Anyway, so, and how long is this going to run? Is this a day event or a four-hour event, two-hour? How long is the event planned for?
Well, a speaker would, you know, would give you an hour or something, but our meeting is an all-day meeting to discuss the Pennsylvania Constitution Party business.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're gonna, you are on the agenda. I didn't realize that, but the state chairman had not. I think he said he's talked with you before, Bob, but he didn't confirm that you and NOA was going to send a speaker.
Okay. Well, either myself or Gerard would come out, or probably both of us would come out. I'll have to see, you know, Pennsylvania, you know, is not that far from us. It depends. How far in Pennsylvania are you?
Clarion's, that's in the, we call it the Northwestern District of the six districts in Pennsylvania. It'd be in the Northwestern District.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm right off of, I'm not far off of, I'm maybe about 15, 20 miles off of 84, Route 84. And I know we can zip down to Route 80, so it's off of Route 80?
Yeah, they say it's off of, towards the Ohio side, which I'm calling the northwestern side of Pennsylvania.
All right, you know, I have family out there in Pennsylvania, and I might plan to head out on a Friday or something, visit family, and head out over to you guys on a Saturday, and then back to them on a Sunday, and back home Sunday night. So we'll see what we'll do. I'm sure we'll make something work, but I should get, you know, details and information and, you know, understand what's expected, what they're looking for. You know, our program is a pretty, it's not a complex program, although it's new hat to a lot of people, so it may seem complex. But really what we do, if you really start thinking about it and how our founding fathers put things together and how committees of safety work and how all things really work in common law, it's all logic. It's really common sense. And with an eye on justice, it's really that simple. You know, it's just a construction of maxims. But, you know, what we have political problems, we have judicial problems, you know, we do different things, and we're building the committees of safety, which is key. So I need to talk to somebody and have some conversation on the phone sooner than later. So maybe in the next couple of weeks, maybe we can set up a meeting and you and whoever else you want to pull to that meeting to get the details and understand what's expected and what we may want to discuss, you know? So,
John, I will email to mail at nationalliberalalliance.org the flyer that has all the information, location, and contact information.
All right.
And I'll email that to you, and you should be able to contact whoever needs, you know, to discuss it in more detail.
Okay, sounds good.
Hey, listen, one of the other comments is Jan's modulation is very low. It's difficult to hear him speak.
Yeah, I noticed that tonight, too.
Well, let me, one thing you mentioned, which I didn't want to bring this up, but you mentioned about we could solve all these problems in America with one Supreme Court opinion.
No, not an opinion, a ruling. We need, if this paper we have going in, we're asking for 18 things to be acknowledged by the United States Supreme Court, and all of them is supported by common law. I mean, they're undeniable. Anybody that denies it is either extremely ignorant to law, and these people are supposed to be educated, or is the enemy. I mean, you can't deny it. Read through the papers, and it's purely obvious. But this paper here, this would bring our country back together. Of course, it takes time, as anything else. There's lots of court cases I'd like to rise up and move forward in the courts to try to straighten out the country as best that I can see from my perspective. And we can do it very quickly if we can get a court system that is a common law court that is back to our roots, and then we'll have that. Then we have courts of justice, and then we're able to hold the feet to the fire very quickly. Any of these judges that buck the system and deny our right of due process, or support the status quo.
Okay, John, I understand what you're saying, but here's what a next friend of mine, who you met, Gerard met, and Jan is known. It said, okay, what are these, if the Supreme Court comes up with this opinion, what are they going to do, come out in their robes and enforce it?
Well, no, it's very simple. It, once they make the ruling, okay, and we're asking for 18 points to be ruled upon, okay, and we have a memorandum for each one of those points, and we make most of what we've written is in memorandum form because we have 18 memorandums attached to a 19-page paper. So the paper itself is only 19 pages long, so it's not that long of a read. There's three pages in front of it. Two pages go to the clerk that addresses the clerk, and then we have a cover sheet. And then at that point, then we have the paper itself, which I said is about 18. I think it's 19 pages. We're commanding them. We're not asking to do anything. Okay, we're telling them what they need to do because we have a right and the authority under common law to do that. Read the paper, and you'll see how clearly the rights and the authorities of the people. And after all, we the people ordained and established this constitution for them to obey. We are the authors of law. We are the ones that wrote the Constitution. We are above the Constitution. They're below the Constitution. Any law they possibly write, they cannot apply against the people, although they do because they've moved over to civil law. Under common law, they didn't have that power or authority. No, we're under common law. And even the courts itself are run by the people. There's no judge running a court. The tribunal is the people, the jury. And most of the powers and the authorities of the magistrate that runs the court, often the judge is in there trying to make decisions, well, no, that has to stop because they don't have that power or authority. The judge is there only as sort of as a traffic cop to keep things moving along, you know, sort of like the chairman so that everything runs in order. But everybody gets what they have to say out. That's the point. Nothing is suppressed, and things will come forward. And that's the job, really, of the magistrate. All judges are magistrates, so they can sit in either an equity court or a court of law, but they have to be obedient to the jury. The jury decides the law, they decide the facts, and they even decide the penalty, you know, with an eye on restitution. Whenever they go after someone, let's say some individual is a criminal act and they injured somebody, whatever the case may be, and the court may put them in jail and fine them. Well, they don't give that fine to the people, you know, so the state really benefits from that, the whole thing. Plus, they're making money on the prison and putting people in the prison. Prison, you know, common law isn't about putting people in prison. Violent people may belong in prison, but generally speaking, you know, different, many situations, people don't necessarily belong in prison. They need to be restored themselves back into society. And that's done by restitution, facing the individual that they injured, restoring that individual. And in that process and communications with that to maybe come to a realization of the problem of inside them, that is. And, you know, common law is not just about restoring the individual that was injured. It's about restoring the individual also that did the injury. So that opportunity of repentance and restitution for that person to be restored, that is available in a common law setting. We've lost the whole thing. You see, this law is written, this is by God. This is God's law. This is not our law. It's not man's law. And we're under natural law, common law. And that's where we need to get these courts. So anyway, the court needs to now come up with writ mandamus as the self. We're commanding them to send 18 writ mandamuses. I mean, they can combine it in one if they want. We don't care, but the point is we're covering 18 points, and they have to come out with 18 commands to the courts lower. Remember, when you read the Constitution, the United States Supreme Court is the superior court, and all the other courts are inferior courts. And so the United States Supreme Court is responsible to command and order through mandamuses and different things and decisions to require the lower courts to be obedient. And remember, the Constitution also says they serve only when they're in good behavior. So the question becomes is, what is bad behavior? Well, bad behavior is when they're not obedient to the Constitution, when they deny due process, when they violate an individual's unalienable rights, when they violate a right of due process, or whatever the case may be. Well, that's bad behavior. So how are we supposed to deal with this? And that's one of the things we're addressing to Congress at the same time with this paperwork and giving a copy to Congress, and particular individuals in Congress and in the Senate, is the fact that they have a duty. And their duty is to impeach any judge out there that is in bad behavior, because that's what the Constitution says. They only get to participate and be and to hold their positions or their office in good behavior. You don't have to say anything more than that, because the obvious thing is if they're not in good behavior, they can't hold that office, and they have to resign or be impeached. And Congress needs to do their job. Of course, we need to impeach a lot of people in Congress too. That also is a problem, and so it's a big problem. But yeah, they need to order all 94 federal district courts right down the line through writ mandamus. And the bottom line is bringing us back to a common law court. So they have to be obedient to all 18 points that we bring in, which is the 18 problems, the 18 violations. You know, there are other problems, but they're not problems that affect the court from being a court of record, from being a common law court. So that's what needs to be done, and that's what we're requiring them to do, and they must obey. Common law requires their obedience, and therefore, you know, eventually we're going to have to decide. And you know, I'm going to call up after we send this out, and we send a copy to you know, the military, and you know, I'm probably going to call up the general who is in charge of the whole thing to see if they got the paperwork and to see what are they going to do about this if the court doesn't want to obey. You know, what's going to happen then? What are you guys going to do? Because look at, when they read this paper, being not lawyers, okay? And matter of fact, I'd like to get people who have read this paper who don't have any background in the law, maybe new people particularly, and maybe next Monday you can come in and tell us what you think and what you understood and what you didn't understand. Because I tell you, what we find is that people who don't understand the law understand the law. After all, God said he wrote the law in our hearts. So we already know. Men know when they're right from wrong. They know when someone has been injured. They understand that. And they know what needs to be done when something happens and someone is violated. And they look to see what the wherefore clause, which is what they're asking for in order to get restitution. And then the jury would make a decision on that. And you got 12 minds working on this. you know, and what they're pondering what's going on in this court case in their hearts, trying to do the just thing, coming in with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy, which is part of the orientation of the jury, whether it be grand or petit. And so that's, you know, what brings us into a proper court. So if we, when we win, not if we win, but when we win, it's only a matter of time. Even if they don't do anything right away, you know, we're going to have to figure out how long we're going to wait before we do indictments. We have to think seriously on whether we're ready to indict a United States Supreme Court justice. They all deserve, well, I can't say they all deserve. We've got some new people up there. We know they got a gun to the head. We know what's going on to some degree. So we have to be careful and appreciate that. We know who the enemies are, too, at least in most cases. But we're requiring them to do the same thing we're doing to them, command those lower courts. Now what happens when they don't obey? Well, you see, they have no choice but to obey because we will move them from office very quickly and bring them right up to the Supreme Court. And that is part of the thing, is to let it be known when these judges are disobedient to these mandamuses, therefore denying people's right of due process and violating us and keeping us under civil law, which is not the Constitution, it's not the law of the land, then we're going to send those indictments directly up to the United States Supreme Court, expecting the necessary movement of that process through, you know, the Attorney General and so on. And of course, you know, the Attorney General has to follow the rules of the law also. So once this happens and we clean up the federal courts and get them back into what's called courts of justice again, where the people take care of their business, well, that just flows right on down through the state level and right into the county level and down into the town level. Because all we have to do in any case, in any court, anywhere, is move it to federal court for cause. And what there's only thing you can move it to federal court for cause is a violation of the Constitution. So as soon as they maintain the status quo, they're denying you due process. And therefore now you've got a cause to move before the federal court. And just the threat of moving to the federal court for cause, because now you're going to be looking for restitution from the judges that are denying due process. And generally speaking, I look at $1,000 of silver dollars, face value, Morgan dollars particularly. They're 26 bucks a piece, $1,000 in face value of a Morgan dollar, silver dollar, which I think is like $28 now, is $28,000 each thousand. And for every violation of all any of the officers in that court that participated in that violation, you know, that adds up quite quickly. And they'll understand that. You see the threat of their punishment, financially particularly first and foremost, so also a writ quo warranto to remove them from office, and they're going to have to go look for a job somewhere else. You know, all of that will play a role. And so we, you know, let's go back to what our founding fathers said. When the people fear the government, you have tyranny. When the government fears the people, you have liberty. And that's where we need to bring this. Not to fear us from any violence or anything of that nature, not at all. No, to fear us because the law is going to come down on them. It's going to cost them. It's going to cost them their job. It's going to cost them money. And it may even cost the loss of their liberty for a while. They may go to jail, depending on what's going on. So, you know, felony rescue is a crime. And when a judge is trying to rescue a corporation or rescue an individual, that's a crime. And when they do what they have to do in order to, you know, throw you out of court or whatever the case may be, when you have a righteous case for no reason, they use Rule 12, which has nothing to do with us anyway. That's a crime. So we'll apply those crimes to them. Hey, by the way, is Gerard here, or has anybody seen Brent yet, Jen?
I have not seen either one, John.
I see someone else coming in under my name. That's not Gerard, is it? I guess not. Okay. Anyway. All right, just let me know if any of those two come in. All right, anyway, need to move to the next call. Anything else?
John, I just want to comment that you've answered my question. However, I was thinking of enforcement by President Joe Biden. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, forget him. No. That has nothing to do with it.
I yield. I want to yield.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to go down to Florida now. Next question. Someone in Florida, what's your first name?
Hey, John.
Hi, how are you doing, Andromeda?
Oh, man. I think my blood is boiling to 2 million degrees Fahrenheit.
So when you go to court, that's what happens.
Yeah. So get this. Now, remember I told you I've gotten some interesting creative judges in getting out of doing what's right. Okay. So now, if you remember, I had a situation where this judge played the waiting game and ignored the habeas corpus for 4 months, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then he advised me, to go, which I already did. I did a quo warranto, and then he ignored that. And then I did the bond enforcement. The bond enforcement is at the appellate court. Right now.
Well, bond enforcement, you want to go through the bonding company. Did you get that information?
What I mean is bond enforcement, meaning, for the next step.
To force them to give you the bond, because they're refusing you to give them a bond and their oath, which is required by law.
Right. Yeah. So he ignored that. Okay, so now he waits until I do that part to the document to give me the bond and the oath. And get this. Now, this is creative. Now, remember, this is a habeas corpus, not for me. It's to get my my daughter's on every document, and the grandchildren, the three grandchildren they have stolen, is on every document. He saw that and ignored it. Now, get this. Now, is this not creative? Order dismissing petition for lack of jurisdiction. All right. Now, here's his argument. He says, it's dismissed because I'm not entitled because he completely now acts like he can't see that my grandsons are on there, and I'm trying to get the grandsons back to their mother, my daughter. So he says, I'm not in custody. He's talking about me. He says, I'm not in custody. He says, I don't have any grounds for jurisdiction. I cannot challenge any conviction when sentences are imposed. He knows there's nothing in there saying
I'm
in
jail. He didn't say standing. I don't know why he would say jurisdiction. I mean, if he tried to impose this, he would say you don't have no standing. But of course you do have standing.
But here's the thing. He's ignoring that I petitioned for the grandson. They're on every document. I know he can read. But he said, here's his argument. He says, I'm the one not in custody. He says, I show that I have a specific address. I still use my Pompano Beach address. He says, so I can't be entitled to habeas corpus because I'm not in custody. Therefore, I cannot challenge the conviction or challenge the court. And so, therefore, there's nothing to attack. And so, isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. I forget, what level court are you in again? I forget. Did you move this into bed?
This United States District Judge said this. Did this in order to he's relieving the state, the CFIS, and allowing them to keep the grandchildren. But he's not. He took their names off. It has my name in all capital letters.
Well, obviously, yeah. Well, look, he broke the law. Obviously, the children can't represent themselves. Number one, you as being grandma working with mom, you can of course represent them. Your blood. The state seems to think that they own our children. They really do believe that. They think that they can do it.
He completely didn't mention them at all.
The family court is one of the biggest problems, and we do have a memorandum up there on the family court. And our paperwork here, let's see,
I have filed several memorandums of law along with these documents.
The point I'm trying to make, though, is one of the things we're looking for the United States Supreme Court to acknowledge is the fact that these family courts are unlawful. And we make a very...
Do you see that's creative? To completely ignore... that we're talking about the grandchildren?
Well, so I've been watching this. I've been watching this for years, and this is exactly what I've been seeing everywhere. Look at our case. I don't know if you're watching.
He says, I'm not entitled. He says, I have no right.
Are you watching our page?
Yes.
Are you seeing the desktop right here? Because I'm scrolling down. These are cases we have in. I've had personal cases we've gotten through, and we have had success. And even with some of the cases that we filed for other people here and joined into our case, even
well,
there...
I have a joiner there, you're supposed to go...
We're going to be looking, you know, that's the next step that I've got to work on. Now I've got the list because I finally finished the papers. I know that people are missing. We do make the note here, right here, more to be added. So there are other cases we need to add here. So everybody isn't in this yet. And once I get to the final thing, I think hopefully by next week I'll get to the final thing. I will go through all of the... all of the spreadsheets and make sure we get all of the people's names in here. And then maybe next Monday, hold on. Next Monday we'll make an announcement, and anybody who sees their name is missing, then we'll have to go fish that out. But let me make my point here because, you know, this is not a surprise to me. I mean, you know how severely the courts are. They're so unjust. And that court
just
is...
What I still
but look at here. We sent all these mandamuses, and they were all ignored. Okay, we sent all these.
How do you think he has the right to dismiss the case?
He doesn't. He makes it up. He's maintaining the status quo, or he's executing felony rescue. Here, look at all these cases. All these cases here, have been ignored. Okay, this is habeas corpuses, and we have a lot more to add on that because I know we had a lot more. What was that? We have all of these non-judicial foreclosures. Most of these people have already lost their houses.
They ignored that.
They haven't even responded to it. Hold on. Let me finish this because it's not just for you. It's for everybody in the room because they need to teach. And then you go down to the indictments, the denial of these habeas corpuses, and for federal felony rescue. And again, everything was ignored. They're all protecting each other. And then you have indictments filed for denial of due process and felony rescue some more here, the other judges. Again, all of these have been ignored.
We have the
assassination of Lavoie Finnegan. It's a 24-page murder conspiracy. And what did they do? They ignored all that, too. So, you know, why have we been doing this? And, you know, we've had people come here and they say, well, you're not winning any cases. You're not getting it. They don't understand what we're doing. We're building the case. We already know we're not. Occasionally we do, because we've had people, habeas corpuses, that have been acted upon, and judges obeyed and did what have to be done, far and in between, okay, and a few other cases. There are only a few, not a lot, all right? But what have we done here? We're looking for justice for all these people. All these people are going to be restored. They have to be restored. Why? Because the law requires that they be restored. That's why they're going to be restored. Now, the bottom line here, though, is we have proven... By doing what we have done since 2015, all the papers and what they have done and how they have hidden our cases, they concealed our case and just ignored everything, and they've done that in every single state of the union. All 94 federal district courts have done this. So what does that prove? That proves conspiracy, because they all have done the same thing. They've all acted the same way. They've all responded the same way. All are guilty of fraud because they remain silent and they have a duty to speak. And the law says when you have a duty to speak and you remain silent, that is fraud. Okay?
Well,
so there's many charges to be placed upon these people.
Up until I filed the quaranto and then the bond enforcement, then he decided to talk and be retaliatory by dismissing the case.
You can appeal that to the next step, and you should enforce it to the next step. Go up to the appellate through that system and say, hey, look, you know, this is what's going on, and here's the law. You want to force a summary judgment from the people up above, okay? The next step up, and there's a couple of steps before you get to the United States Supreme Court. You'll not get up to the United States Supreme Court. I mean, you can possibly, I don't know,
I already have. Two cases where in the appellate court, where I already told you the clerk is acting as a tribunal and is also doing the same thing, is protecting the status quo.
Remember,
he won't allow it before a judge.
Remember, they think they have sovereign immunity. They don't have sovereign immunity at all. Okay, and you can sue them. You can sue them in a civil court. Civil law.
I just issued a
And let me just correct myself, because there's no difference between a civil court and a criminal court. There's only one court. They're called courts of justice. And courts of justice here, not only cases that are criminal, but cases that are not criminal. And using the word civil, you've got to be careful not to connect that to civil law.
Right.
nothing to do with civil.
All right, so what else? Because your next step on your habeas, you had told me not to do about when I asked you to, and so now the next step was to petition your grand jury, but you said don't
doing. Yeah, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which we constructed, took a long time to put together. We've established it in every single state of this union, and it came together, so we formed state. And again, I know you know this, but maybe we have new people who don't know this.
I'm saying you told me not to do that. And
right,
you said,
well, let me
you
just finish.
You already...
Yeah, let me make my point, though, and finish. We here have put together, every state of the union has formed a state, unified state a common law grand jury. And in all 50 states, all 50 states came together to form the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And we have one thing, one goal, one focus. And then we disband after that focus. And that is to bring our courts back to courts of justice. That's our goal. And people,
well, that's
you know,
why I filed the joinder.
Yeah, and people who are we've assisted or given information to, okay, if they've come in and joined onto our case and they haven't gotten anywhere with it, well, that's going to come up with us for our case for justice eventually. It is true, you can only go so far and you can only push so hard. You have to be articulate. You have to be able to write papers reasonably well. So, you know, you have to get somewhat
very well
to fight a case in the court against these people, which we shouldn't have to be.
I write very well. They don't care about that.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, that's why they're very hostile. They get very retaliatory because of the way I write.
Yeah, they don't like you to buck the system on them. They don't like that at all. They're used to being...
They feel they're not to be challenged.
Oh, absolutely. That's their problem.
I've heard a judge threaten me and tell me, right, in open court, not to challenge him. But I challenged him anyway. He told me not to.
Well, again, you need to go up and go up to the appeal. Look, you can stop a case at any time for a bad decision, especially a decision that affects the case, okay? And you can go up and get a decision on a higher court to force that judge, and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a writ mandamus from a higher court to order that judge to obey the law and to go forward in a certain way. And that's part of the process and the argument. And that's what I said earlier. It seems it's mm-hmm. not. It seems it is the fact that every time I walk into a courtroom, it's always right. The same thing. I'm fighting the judge.
Yeah.
I'm not here to fight the judge. I'm here to fight for the case here. You know, and I don't
know.
Want
they to. They always make it their fight. Anything. Every time if the case doesn't involve them, they turn it into their fight.
Right. I don't want the judge. And I don't want the judge to decide anything. I want a jury to decide this. I opened up a court of
exactly.
record. Nothing to do with them. This is the people's court. It's not some judge's court. But they think it is.
He saw that it's a court of record throughout the entire process. He saw that.
He doesn't care. I understand. You're not going to get anywhere with him. You gotta put the pressure on him. You go for his bond.
That's when he issued that, when I issued the bond.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. if ten days have gone by, you could call.
Yeah.
You gotta move it up to the court above for an enforcement to force him to give you the bond. That's a law. He's got to do it. And if that
well,
if
I have to move it.
Yeah,
the
won't do
court
it.
Is...
Hold on. If the judge that is in the appellate court above. And to make the decision and does not force the law, well, then you go for his bond, too, and then you push it to the next level up, okay?
The clerk is not letting it get to a judge. He's making the decisions.
Well, no, you know, look, you got to go find out how what the process is to go, and you do an appeal. They can't stop an appeal. The clerk can't stop an appeal.
Well,
you can appeal it up to the boss. Every judge has a boss that keeps going up the line, okay?
Yeah, I issued the chief judge a quorum, since the clerk keeps doing it. I issued the clerk a quorum just recently. Because his plan is to dismiss every case that I sent through there and not let it to the judge.
Well, look,
so
this is the problem in the courts.
Yeah.
You know, when people who don't concern themselves with this don't realize that one day there's a good chance they may find themselves in a court. And if they're in these courts, they're not getting no justice, they're not getting no constitution, they're not going to be right. They're not going to be. Look what they did to the people on January 6th out there in Washington, D.C. Look what they've done to those people. Those people have been in jail for 2 years, and they didn't break the law. Okay, you know, and terrorists. Okay, terrorists.
Yeah.
So
that's why 31 years. My husband did 31 years for no reason. How about that?
Yeah. Well, again, we have an evil system. An evil system.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, what else you got? Because we have a couple of people still in the queue here. Let me look at the time.
I still haven't been able to the bonds for the wind so far as trying to, you know, that way.
They're not making contact back with you or what?
But their form doesn't work. And the, even I've...
Why don't you go on to this site.
I'm trying to tell you, I went on Telegram as well. I sent several messages to them while they seem to be on there and no one answers me.
Right.
I sent it to several different places.
Let me explain the problem, okay? Because we have the same problem here at National Liberty Alliance. We have people that have taken on positions to do certain things, and that's why we're always looking for help. We need a lot of help. We need people that are really going to commit, okay, and assist us and do the things that have to be done, answer the phone.
But their form is not even working. I've tried it a million times.
All right, let me finish.
It doesn't send.
Yeah, let me finish, though, okay?
Go ahead.
We have the same problem here when people that have a job to do and they volunteered for it and then they don't do it. And then, you know, we had someone just earlier in our call complained about someone that didn't answer, hasn't answered and hasn't responded. And, you know, we have to do something about it. We've got to get another person to take that. And what happens is the weight gets on to just a couple of people doing all this work and it becomes burdensome. So we need people to help us. But in any event, this is the kind of thing with a lot of organizations, especially when we're volunteers. And then they don't do what has to be done. But there's other people there that are involved. You just have to find them. There must be maybe a contact. If you go through the website to see if you can find a contact or place, just to send an email. Or to go, I think they give you that. You mentioned that you can go on to
Telegram.
Telegram.
To even several different people. Yes.
Well, the only thing I can contact someone there. Only thing I can suggest to you is continue trying. That's all I can. You know, that's not us, number one. But I understand their problem, and you got to find someone that is active over there. That's the key. You know, it's a shame because you know people don't realize that the Constitution cannot defend itself. And if people don't exercise their right, their unalienable rights, okay,
to
have government by consent, which means you have to give up your time. If people are not willing to give up a little bit of time a month, not much, a couple hours a month, if they're not willing to do that, then don't expect to have liberty. And they don't deserve it anyway. You know, Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. And that's that. So we have to get involved. And that's why, you see, if we had committees of safety, a lot of these problems will be solved real quick.
I have been active on that, people are still asleep. Not too many
It takes time to get to the point where you have enough people that are really, really focused to deal with this problem, and they're committed to the point that they want to get, you know, justice back in our courts, that they want to bring America back again. And they want to exercise their liberties. Okay, you'll find those people, and it'll take a while, and then you'll find more and more and more. And then once you get that thing moving and you start to do some really good work within the community, every county should have a committee of safety, and you get that good work going, people, then you get the reputation. Hey, you got a problem. Hey, go down and see these people here. They did a good job. Matter of fact, I volunteered some of my time now. You see, if people don't want to take care of the business to learn government by consent, to learn how this nation was created, what your heritage is, and what your true liberties are, and what our courts are supposed to look like, and what our political process is supposed to be. If they're not willing to learn that, then how are they going to fix it? And what are they going to expect when the Gestapo comes knocking on their door? You know?
Well, exactly what you're saying is what I tell them every time they come, the ones that come on to those that have come to the meeting. They want things handed to them. They don't want to learn themselves, and this and that, you know. And
you're going to get a large amount of people like that. That's fine, but you're going to get other people who are going to do. Look at you. Once you start the committees and you get a small group of people that are really strong and focusing in and trying to, you know, push these other people to get educated. And remember, education starts right there at the meeting. Every time you have a meeting, we put many, many tools together. We have PowerPoints, we have videos, PowerPoints, we got everything.
We show.
Right.
I show them every meeting. Yes, I am. Every time.
Okay.
They ask questions. The ones that have come, we have 98 that have come to the group page that I created. All right, and we had a few come on the meetings, but they mainly just want things handed to them. They'll ask questions. I'm always able to answer their questions. All right, no matter what, I'm pretty well versed. I can answer the questions after we show the PowerPoint presentation. But in the long run, they want things handed to them.
Right. You know? No, I understand that because they've been trained that way. They've been trained all their lives that way. They've been bombarded by the BS in the school, and when they watch on TV and the media that they hear, they've been created and molded. Okay, and it's tough to wake them up. I mean, usually the older people, they remember when it was, when things were different.
Mm-hmm.
Younger children that maybe are being homeschooled by people who realize the problem. Look, you're going to eventually get the people that will be the movers and shakers, and other people will eventually, when they start to see the what's really going on and the importance of what they're doing, they'll wake up here and one wake up there. It's an awakening anyway. That's what it is. And now the other thing is, you start opening and going with the subcommittees. And when the subcommittees, you get one strong person says, I want to get something done with education. We got a problem with education. We have to do something.
I make that announcement too every meeting. I make this announcement.
Okay, hold on. We're putting it, and again, remember, I'm not just talking to you. I know you know a lot of this stuff. There's other people that. This is the purpose of the call here. So we're putting together a program, the specifics and details on education, how to bring education proper back into the school systems. We're going to be working. We haven't started it yet. We're going to be working on textbooks to go into the schools, to really give them a proper education. And so once you get one person in that community that says, I want to run on that. As the chair maybe or whatever, I want to be on that committee. So once you have three or four really rock solid people on that committee, and you'll have other people, but the ones that are really strong on a particular committee, that's when you're going to see these motions. They start to develop the knowledge and the understanding, going through all the handbooks we've written, and what to do with the schools and how to approach the schools and how to deal with the school boards. You can remove the school boards. We just saw a video recently, of some woman that went in there and they decided to remove the school board. They removed the school board. Okay, you can remove them. You know, we had a person that was some parent or something. I heard the story. I don't know the details, but some parent was arrested because they threatened a school board with removal or whatever. Not threatened with removal, but was arguing and debating with them. And they had her arrested for trying to call them a terrorist or something because this is their response to this. But you don't argue. You don't argue with these people. You go in there and you make your points. You see that they're arrogant, that they're not listening, they're not responding, they're not doing what's right. They're doing whatever they want to do. And then you come back the next month and you file a notice and demand, which is a quo vanto focusing in on their oaths. Remember, these are elected people. They have an oath.
I worked for the school board. Remember, I worked for two school boards.
You're going to pull that.
In Florida and in Connecticut. Connecticut and Florida.
Now, forget about the threat. You're using the law, okay?
Yeah.
And if they don't respond in 10 days, they just gave up their seat. Hey, fella, you're out of here. You can't come back here no more. You didn't respond. And you could still pursue the bond. And then, in the committees of safety, as they pursue that, that'll bring income into the committee of safety in order to bring things even further. But the thing is, you have political...
I even took a lot of time to create an extra explanatory flyer to go along with the flyers that you already created. I even did that, which is very explanatory, and I've seen many likes on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but people
the
are
that I created.
Because we've been taught to be lazy. And look at our children. Our children have been destroyed. Our children have been totally, totally destroyed. And we have to teach them. And we have to work.
My grandchildren are in their hands, and I know they're corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Because they made a mess of mine when they at the time they wrongfully took mine and drugged me and corrupted them, and they were never the same when I got them back.
All right, well, look, I got to move to the next call. Do you have anything final?
I have read through your initial documents, really about it, and I just need to get this this bond and this I'll just continue to get this up. You know, right now it's an appellate. Next step is, I know you told me to slow it down a bit before getting to the Supreme Court on one of the times.
Well, it's very difficult to get to the United States Supreme Court. Remember that. So it's a very difficult task. I mean, they don't take too many cases. We're coming up a little bit of a different way because we're forcing them by law to respond to us because of what we're saying and what we're doing and what our firm is all about. And let me just get to you, for the people who haven't heard this, let me get them. And we did do a Monday where we read through this paper. So if you go back, we're up on the Rumble, and we do have it up on our page here on National Liberty Alliance. Underneath today's issues, if you come down here and you click on Monday Open Forum video, hold on. Click on the Monday Open
Forum video. I listened to it, I think.
Okay, you'll find it here. We have the enforcement, and we have writ mandamus to the United States Supreme Court. We read this. And the big thing here, going back to this paper, and this is the important thing here, and this is why they don't have a choice. On our cover sheet, we put down, this is a national emergency concerning high treason under 18 U.S.C. subsection 2382.
Can I file that into my case?
Huh?
When you're done with it, can I file that into any of my cases?
Well, this is listen. This is serious. We're talking about enemies, foreign and domestic, in high places.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what this paper is all about. Okay, my point is this: to get before the United States Supreme Court, we started in this in 2015, and we moved slow because we were constructing, the website. We were building up membership. We were going around getting people involved. We visited all the counties. We had members visiting a lot of counties, and I visited a lot of counties. A lot of people visited counties. We got the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury organized, and we did a lot of work since 2015.
Yeah.
Tremendous amount of work. And this was all
hold on,
because there are people that need to hear this. You may know this.
Okay.
People in this room haven't heard this. And
they're
coming in new. Or they came in a couple of years ago, maybe don't know the story of this. But we worked to build this up. Okay, we knew we wasn't going to get to the United States Supreme Court in any quick fashion. We didn't even know how we were going to do it. But we were learning because we were going through the school of hard knocks. We were having our own court cases going and having problems trying to figure things out and researching. You know, it's been 13 years of research that we've done to write these books and to finish off the construction of our website. We have tremendous amount of information and education.
I think I finished two courses already.
Yeah, sometimes people will come in and they say, well, you haven't gotten any. They don't understand. They have no clue. A war takes time.
They're too
and that's the problem. They tweet and they think that everything is instantaneous because they've been trained that way. It's not even
My daughter's the same way. She harasses me. Why haven't you gotten my kids back yet? Why haven't you? I said, you don't have a clue.
Yeah,
All you do is sit there and wait for me to do it.
Getting to my point though, we had to build the case, and we've taken 7 or 8 years, whatever it's been, to build the case, and then we started to see how we can now approach it. We knew we were building a case to prove the fact that there was that there was subversion at the highest level. We knew that we had to build a case to show that it was a conspiracy. We knew we had to build a case to prove the fact that all 94 federal district courts are doing the very same thing, acting the very same way, saying the very same things, okay?
Yeah,
and
ignoring
due process consistently and constantly. So we knew that was what we've been busy doing, is building that case. So getting back to the power here, you got to understand this. We're coming in under a national emergency concerning high treason under 18 U.S.C. subsection 2382. They don't have a choice but to respond to this. They don't have a choice. Judges have no more. Two U.S. Supreme Court decisions right down believe it. Judges have no more right to decline the exercise of a jurisdiction which is given than to usurp that which is not given. The one or the other would vote. It'd be treason to the Constitution. And the second is, it remains silence, for silence can only be equated with fraud where there is a legal official who didn't speak or where an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. So, you see, they don't have a choice. We have the law. Now, see, if they refuse the case, if they would not do the right thing, they're guilty of because they have covered it up. They can't do that. The law requires that they do something about it. So this is the power. And then, of course, we have the enforcement. And the enforcement is the most powerful enforcement that we get. Our copy for enforcement is NORAD and the National Guard. Okay? Both of those both of those military structures, they're the reinforcement. I'm looking at the clock. Yeah, I got three people in. I got to move, okay, to the next caller. All right?
All right, then.
All right, we'll talk to you maybe next week or whatever. Thanks.
Okay, all right.
Hey, next person, we have Charlotte in Hawaii. You got the mic. Go right ahead. Is that Charlotte in Hawaii?
Yes, it's me. I'm trying to plug it all in.
Okay, you got the mic. I can hear you.
Sorry.
Try to get a little close.
I had my headphone off because I was like, my head was burning from listening to everybody, but I'm still working. But Happy New Year, you guys. Thank you guys for all you guys are doing. You guys rock. I'm so thankful. I know we don't have much time, and I don't know who else is in the queue, but I've been writing down my questions. I have it here somewhere. Sorry, I was in the middle of doing two things. Okay, first and foremost, I've been trying. I'm at 66.45% on my civics course. Finally, I'm getting there. I promise.
Okay.
I just don't want to lose my spot again because it took like 4 months to get it going, and then I'm starting to do it again. So I don't want to lose my progress. Please, I don't know how that's going to happen. But my civics course, I don't want to lose my progress. So whatever you do on adjusting, please let me know ahead of time or whatever so I can schedule my time better. But I'm trying to get it done this, hopefully before the end of this year. I don't know how long more 40% is, but I'm trying to do it twice a week minimum.
Right.
So second of all classes, which classes are considered all? So to do the jury administrator, I've noticed on that list, there's so many people that's been there. Like my son kind of started, but he failed off and he lost his password and all of that. So I know that has to be dissolved and he has to redo it. And because
he can still get back on. There's a process. All he has to do is have his email, and he can get restored by getting the email, getting a new password.
Okay,
you know,
do
the process like any other place. You can find yourself. And if worse comes to worse, we can look him up if he can't get through that. If you go to the top of our page here at National Liberty Alliance, you can file an information here. You go to tech support, and you read through tech support. They'll give you some instructions to do before you actually try to make contact with them. And we'll do our best. I mean, remember, we're volunteers here. We have a couple of people that handle this. One person's kind of away for an emergency for quite some time, but another person who's very busy has been handling a lot of that. But we can look up the name and get the information, reset the password or something, or assist in that fashion.
Absolutely, and I know you guys are doing phenomenal. And I know I haven't been on in a long time, but my heart is with you guys 24/7. You know, and I just wanted to say that what you guys are doing on the national level, I've kind of disappeared because we have a couple of Surrey jurists doing the same thing in the state of Hawaii. And literally, I'm like the behind-the-scenes person for them actually being the, what is it called? The
Committee of Safety?
No, well, we're trying to get to the Committee of Safety, but in actuality...
Well, that is the most, the Committee of Safety...
I understand, what, and it's trying to convince somebody in your statue of that, and I understand that, and I'm working on that with these guys that are very intelligent, and they're actually working as the Attorney Generals in the state of Hawaii, infiltrating
get them,
their
go down,
system.
Go download for them or lead them where they can download the handbook for the Committee of Safety. Okay, and the committee man. Okay, it's underneath the Starter Committee of Safety, and you come down to handbooks and tools, you click on that.
Respectfully, Yes. And our Clean House Hawaii, we have meetings every Monday nights now. We used to have them on Sundays. So it's actually going to be at 6:30 Hawaii time. So that's in half an hour. As soon as we get off this phone call, I'm going to be 2 hours on that as well. But what I wanted to meet up with you guys because I think what you guys are doing is phenomenal. Even as Clean House Hawaii, we did go into a writ of mandamus up to SCOTUS as well for the election stuff and all of that, and it's been heavy duty. And he sent an email to you, the mail. If you guys have time to look it up, I would honorably think it's worth your time, Mr. Jeresh. He shared about all the court cases and have so much documentation of how they have pretty much stole the voice of the people, and we're holding them accountable. But yes, I agree. So at these meetings that I have every Monday night with them, I was finally get the motion for the people within the meeting to start reading 2 pages of the Committee of Safety Handbook. So I'm working on that, and I'm slowly trying to bring them to see what you guys are doing. I'm still in the process.
Right. I think once they get through that handbook, they're going to see the wisdom of it. Remember, we didn't create this process. This is the process created by our founding fathers.
Correct.
They did committees of safety. The pilgrims, when they came over here, they survived by the committees of safety. They became a government unto themselves, and they did that for committees of safety. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have so many
questions. Just so you know, everybody knows, I know we have a couple people more in the queue, but I'm only going to have to be here for another 5 minutes at most because I have to go pick up my son at work. So, but in any event, go ahead. Do you have a final point or a question or something?
Just if you're planning on cleaning up the civics course report, because there's been people there in like 2015 that hasn't even touched anything.
Yeah, well, again, you know, people fall asleep, and any organization, you have the same thing. That's one of the main reasons why we have to go professional, and we're looking for money. I mean, you know, I would have thought by now that someone with the deep pockets would have found us by now and say, hey, this is a good cause I can put my money into. Because people with money should be looking to do good things to the community and for, you know, for the nation. But that person hasn't found us yet, and we haven't found that person. But we're looking, and we're even, you know, I've sent out a couple of letters recently trying to stimulate some interest here. But you know, this is all in God's time anyway, and we'll develop as fast as God will allow us to develop. You know, one of the reasons, you know, being so slow and taking so long, remember, we had to construct a lot. We've done a lot of work here. And getting to the point where we're at, you know, it probably was better off to be more low-key than high-key, you know. But now we're ready for the only thing that we're not ready for is I don't know whether the website's going to handle a critical mass. And again, that's why we're working on that now. And I'll be talking about that maybe next Monday to let the people know how much money we're going to need in order to do that. And I don't think it's going to be a lot. But again, you know, I got to find out what the cost is, and we have to start constructing that and being able to move over to that website quickly because I think we might crash here.
And I just want to appreciate and say, you know, thank you for all the educational classes. Since I started with you guys, I know you guys are like tolerating me. I'm not really clueless of anything. But my heart is I've been trying to get these people, because Hawaii has never heard of civics before.
Mm-hmm.
So what, ever since I did your constitutional class, it woke me up so tremendously. My heart was to go into the Republican Party, start educating my district chairs of them knowing that they have the rights, and educating the people. I even ran for office just to express the pertinence and get my name out there so I can get people to come and educate themselves about civics. And it's only because you guys that is what made me, or the Lord led me to you guys, that actually helped me to educate to the level that I'm at. And I want to just say thank you. And I only made $15,000 in 2023 just to survive in Hawaii, and that's really not much. But I utilize every moment I can, because I basically had civics 101. I'm serving the most corrupt politicians here in the state of Hawaii. I'm literally going to their doors and thank you. I mean, I just finished that motion on part 10, I think it was, where I can just drop it at their feet and say, you've been served, and walk away. It felt so invigorating that I actually learned that from your guys' class, and I'm literally doing it hands-on by myself, and nobody's paying my gas. Nobody's teaching me these things. We spent about $7,500 in all these court cases. Carl Dix is one of the head of the things, and he's been serving tremendously, and we only pay like $400 to file in the courts, and we get all fundraisers or donations to do it. So I understand about the finances, and I appreciate everything and all the education that you have been sacrificing for this, for our country, to bring it back and re-energize it, or bring it back to life. You know what I mean? And I thank you guys for your sacrifice.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
God bless you guys, and I'm sorry to take you any longer, but
that's okay.
God,
all right. Well, God speak to you too. Thanks for the call. All right, it's 11 o'clock. I know we have two more people in the queue, but I really can't stay. I don't see Gerard here. Usually Gerard could take over. Gerard hasn't come in, right? I don't see him here. All right, we're going to have to close down. Ross and Michael, maybe from Michigan, it looks like. Maybe you guys can get into the queue early next Monday. And again, next Monday, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we're planning to do with the new website and what kind of monies we may need. Hopefully I have a number by then. And again, I don't think it's going to be a big amount. But in any event, we also, I want to talk a little bit about anybody who might read this paper that we wrote, especially someone that's not familiar with anything that we're doing here, and they're kind of new hat at this. I'd like to hear their perspective on how easy or how difficult it was to understand the paperwork, because common law is really common sense. It's very, very simple, really. We don't get into statutes and regulations and all that craziness. So it's a whole different ballgame. And once you kind of click onto it, and you see it, and you'll get it real quick. Okay, yeah, procedure has to be learned if you're going into the courts, but that takes a little time. Again, everything looks difficult when it's new, when you're first approaching it, but as time goes on, you start to say, oh, this stuff is really kind of simple. You got to kind of learn the lingo and a few little things here or there, but you start to see the structure and you work it out. Also, hopefully, I'll be updated on all the names by next Monday, and then push forward for anybody's names that's missing, and they'll have to respond quickly, because I think if we are at that point next week, I get all the names up, and I'm working on I'll be working on printing soon. After next Monday, I'll start printing. Maybe we should be at that point. And I have to wait, of course, to see if there's any other names coming in, though, and if we're missing any. So people are going to have to move quickly on that once they establish the fact that their name is not there. But again, don't really fret too much on that, because even though your name may not be in there for some reason or another, and we do finally file it and we're missing a few names, that doesn't mean they're out of the loop. No, they'll be put into the loop. They have to be restored. But we would like to get the full, everything, everyone in there. All right, with that, I got to get going. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Godspeed, everybody. Thanks for coming. And we're looking for volunteers. Anybody that can help us, just send an email to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and just put in the headline, help, you're willing to help or something like that. And make sure you have a phone number in there, first name and a phone number in your email, and someone will get back to you. All right. Thanks, everybody. Good night.